Well, in front of me is the first person, with the exception of Sweet Atmosphere, who we had in during the pandemic for a time when we thought maybe we'd be able to have live music again. Nobody. In fact, they were out in our larger studio area. Nobody's been in here other than Ricky making all these qualifiers. But it's true. This person here with us now is the first person to be here in about 16 months, Robert Hockenberry from the Pittsburgh Savoy Arts. I've given you a lot of a big buildup here to deliver. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you this morning?
Good. What does a theater do during a 16-month pandemic? You guys have you moved right at the beginning of it.
We did.
And are now in Bellevue, a short walk from where Ricky and I live. It's a nice space there. And you've survived and thrived and are ready to do something pretty exciting with outdoor performances that are going to be starting a little later this month. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that first, the concept of the Savoy Arts doing shows outdoors. I can't recall your ever having done that before.
We have not. And one of the things that happened when the pandemic hit was starting to look outside of our general, let's do this beautiful orchestra and this beautiful theater with Gilbert and Sullivan. And we started during the pandemic exploring the idea of doing plays. So we, last fall, we did a sort of reprise of Gilbert and Sullivan's greatest hits. We called The Masked Victorian, where we had characters from the shows coming in to audition for Queen Victoria. We had some actors playing Queen Victoria and Gilbert, and that was fun. And then in the spring, we branched out, and we did a collection of one acts from the period called Live, Laugh, Love, Repeat, and that included, like, Chekhov and some American authors in that. And so since our president, Andrea Carricker, actually works at South Park Theater, there was a relationship there, and they have an outdoor stage. And we had always talked about adding a summer performance outside of GNS, and this just seemed like the perfect time to try it. And so we picked this show, and we're doing an outdoor performance there, and then one in front of the Andrew Carnegie Free Library and Music Hall in Carnegie, where we normally perform. And then we are doing a final performance actually indoors in our new space in Bellevue.
It's exciting. We'll give you all of the dates. I'll give them to you now, but we'll repeat them too. The 22nd and 25th, I believe. Is that correct, those two dates?
23rd and the 25th, I believe. It's Thursday and Saturday.
Let me make sure I have it exactly right here. I'm going to the official website here to make sure I have it right. I think we're both wrong. It says the 20... This is the kind of thing one would have at his fingertips here. The 22nd and 24th. Does that sound right?
The 20. Yes. It's 20, 2 days apart. It's a Thursday and a Saturday.
Thursday and Saturday. The 22nd and 24th at South Park. July 30th, 31st, and August 1st at Carnegie, and then August 6th through 8th. At Bellevue, those dates. And the best way to get those is at pittsburghsavoyarts.org. You can find those dates there. And I should have quit while I was ahead, you know, but with dates. What is the imaginary invalid of the play?
So the play, it's very fun to me because the play is 348 years old. It was written in the 1600s in France. It was Molière's final production. He plays a character named Argon in it. He wrote it. He played that part. And that part has a tirade in the middle where he's making fun of Molière. So Molière was making fun of Molière and going on a rampage about, if I were a doctor, I would let him die. And then four performances in, that's exactly what happened in the original production. He had a coughing fit on stage, went home, and passed away. But the show is still oddly relevant today. It makes fun of pharmacies that overcharge for their medications. It makes fun of unqualified doctors who stick to the old ways and don't follow modern science. It makes fun of parents who push their own hopes and dreams off on their children instead of living them themselves, of underpaid workers. And of course, it's just funny. It's absolutely hilarious. And it focuses on a man who has been sort of babied his whole life. And so when a doctor tells him something's wrong, he clings to that as the mothering nature that's not there. And all of a sudden, he's got this and that and the other thing. And they're all different names for things like upset stomach. None of them are actually serious, but he buys into it. And so he decides that he's going to marry his oldest daughter to a doctor. Because what doctor would dare charge their own father-in-law for medical care? But of course, the daughter has plans of her own. She's fallen in love with a young musician. And of course, it's up to the maid who knows everything and more than everyone else to set things right.
Hilarity ensues.
Yes.
Afterwards, what a great when was it written? Roughly
1673.
Wow, and it still holds true. You know, yep. Eldest and being a hypochondriac, perhaps. What's the cast? Who is the cast?
So we have a cast of seven. One of the reasons we had picked this show is actually 13 characters in the show, but we were able to double cast it down so less people had to interact with each other. And it is a very nice mix of our company. Two of the main leads are played by people who've never worked with us before. Two more are ensemble members that have done several shows with us who have their first leads. And then the other three are veterans of our companies. So you'll see some familiar faces that have played a variety of roles with the Savoy Arts, plus some fresh blood.
Sounds excellent. And is there an orchestra also?
There is not for this one. So the original production is one of those stepping stones to musical theater that sort of gets forgotten in the textbooks that say, you know, there was a play called The Black Crook in New York and a theater housing the Russian ballet burned down. So they stuck the ballet in the theater and musical theater was born. And even in college studying theater, I had textbooks that said that, and it's not remotely true. Molière had started in the 1660s with adding ballets and music to his plays. So all of his shows, including The Imaginary Invalid, started with a ballet or a musical mini show, and then he would integrate into each act of his show, usually at the end, a ballet that either reflected what was going on or was being attended by the characters in the show. So this one had, you know, the prologue, and then there was a ballet at the very end. I don't want to spoil the plot twist, but where the plot twist that is very Gilbert and Sullivan-esque happens became a full-blown production number. When we decided on this show, we did not know what kind of restrictions we would be under. So we cut everything except a quote-unquote improvised opera in the middle of the show and replaced it with dialogue. So this will be musician-free, unfortunately.
It'll still be a great show, and I'm in the process of getting information onto our Facebook page, so you can have a link to click for show dates and to get involved. Do you need to register in advance to attend? Would you prefer that?
We would prefer tickets purchased in advance so we can make sure everything's properly spaced, but there will be tickets available day of. They're just as limited seating, especially in our Bellevue location.
Well, it's an exciting opportunity. What's happening with the rest of the season? Has that been planned out?
We are back to our normal schedule after this. We are doing Gilbert and Sullivan's Princess Ida in the music hall in Carnegie in the fall. I actually finally get to perform again in that one. And then our plan is next spring to do Pirates of Penzance, everyone's favorite. And start producing children's theater next summer, where we will be doing Gilbert and Sullivan shows shrunk down to about an hour and a half with an all under 18 cast.
That's going to be a lot of fun. And how has the new space been working for you? It's right in the business district of Bellevue. You know, you see Pittsburgh Savoy Yards on the sign. Are you finding it to be nice to be in a community like that?
Well, especially as a director and a tech director who's there at all sorts of odd hours, it feels much safer to have people around and there's somewhere to go if, like, we ran out of tape. Well, we need tape. We can't do this without tape. I don't have to drive far away to pick that up. And it's been a very welcoming location. People randomly swing by and say, hey, what's going on here? a lot of work turning a former pharmacy into a viable rehearsal, storage, and now performance space. But to see how it's grown and changed since we, you know, moved in there has been rewarding and actually a very good use of the quote-unquote downtime we had during pandemic.
Again, if you're just joining us, this is Robert Hockenberry, and I just was able to get up on Facebook moments ago the dates for the Imaginary Invalid, the correct dates too, July 22nd and 24th at South Park, July 30th, 31st, and August 1st in Carnegie, in front of the Carnegie Library. Those are both outdoor shows. And then August 6th, 7th, and 8th at the Pittsburgh Savoy Arts headquarters we were just talking about in beautiful Bellevue, where you can now live, worship, shop, and be entertained by theater there. And I'm glad that's worked out as a good space. You know, we've lived in that area now for, gosh, it's been almost 33 years. And we've seen changes, but they've always been positive. You know, stores come and go, but things are pretty much very stable. It's been a nice neighborhood to live in. Do you have any advice for people considering a career in theater as somebody that's done that?
I can still remember when I started at Point Park, that one of the things they looked at us on our first day, and they said, look to everyone to your right, look to everyone to your left. One of these people will not make it through. And they sort of emphasized that the career path is hard. It takes a lot of dedication, but it's worth it. It also doesn't mean you failed if you end up, as I have, where it's more of a hobby than your main source of income. It's the passion that matters. And if you have the passion for it, you will find a way in. Whether it's performing in community theater, directing the professional level, or whatever it may be, there's always room in the arts for everyone.
And there's lots of transferable skills too, right?
Entirely.
If you're an attorney, really any field requires communication of some sorts and the ability to understand an audience or to have a sense of what it is you're going to say. And I was smiling when you said the look to the left, look to the right, because some of my Carnegie Mellon friends have told me that in the theater department there, that's a indoctrination they get at the very beginning. One out of the three of you is going to make it, if even. It has to be a big challenge, I would think. What got you into theater? When you were a little boy, did you like it?
My first show, I was 2 years old. I played a sheep in a Christmas pageant, and I just had to say "bah" on cue. And it just kind of stuck, and I have been doing it ever since. I, you know, did the stuff in school when I was there. I expanded out into community theater when I graduated because my high school drama coach was doing the local community theater, and it just grew like a flame from there.
Wow. Where did you go to school, high school?
High school, I went to Slippery Rock.
Okay. And then you found your way into the Pittsburgh area, mm-hmm. and you've stayed since graduating?
Yep.
Fantastic. Well, Robert Hockenberry is here. I'm so happy that you get to break the ice for a return to live and studio guests again. We'll mention the dates, but is there anything else you'd like to mention? Is the Savoy Arts, are the Savoy Arts looking for additional players or musicians, or is there anything you need?
We are always looking for more people. All the contact information is on our website. Obviously, orchestra, our greatest asset sometimes is our orchestra, because they always sound phenomenal. I just love to sit there and listen to them. One of the few places where I like the overture as much as the show, because I can just bathe in this glorious music from them. We're always looking for volunteers backstage. We will have auditions sometime in November for Pirates of Penzance. And then in the spring, we will be auditioning for that children's show. And the hope is to continue doing a summer play plus a summer kids show in our Bellevue location, and hopefully add a Christmas production in there as well.
Well, it's been many, many years for the Pittsburgh Savoy Yards. I'm trying to, is this 80?
This is the 84th season.
84 seasons. And again, the Imaginary Invalid, it's free. It's outdoors July 22nd and July 24th in South Park. July 30th, 31st, and August 1st in front of the Carnegie Library in Carnegie. And then August 6th, 7th, and 8th in Bellevue on Lincoln Avenue in inside of the Savoy Yards headquarters. You can find more information at pittsburghsavoyyards.org or by going to our website or Facebook page at SLB Radio.
It's actually $15 tickets because we're splitting them with our partners.
Oh, I'm glad you told me that. Thank you. But that's fine. There is a ticket price. Boy, am I glad you told me that. So make sure you take note of that, and you can register in advance to get tickets in advance at the Pittsburgh Savoy Yards website at pittsburghsavoyyards.org. Thanks so much for being here and for making it in. We could have done this by phone, but it's nice to do it in person. And here's hoping for the next show, we have the cast doing some